turn it into love. Ain't nobody gonna tell us what we gonna do, because today it's up to you.
Welcome, friends and folks, humans and Pokemon alike, to the Johto Quorum. I have taken over. Just as Mewtwo once took over this planet, I, Mew6, am now in command of this podcast. Mewtwo was once cloned from Mew, enhanced to be more powerful, and I am the result of cloning a clone of... You get the picture. It's a long process that led to me. I'm joined by Alan. Do you have a funny goof as well?
I do now. I'm Mewtwo's clone, Mewpoo. I'm the less successful one who works in IT. Humans and Pokemon alike need to understand that all women are queens.
Humans and Pokemon can never be friends, because they can't figure out how to friend each other on Facebook, so they call Mewpoo and try and get us to troubleshoot.
Did you try turning it off and on again?
Okay, I'm going to redirect you.
This is the Johto Quorum, the premier Pokemon ranking podcast. Actually, this is something. I'm going to... I don't know when this episode is coming out, but I'm going to PAX East this year. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're going to be there, say hi, please. I'm going to be there on Friday. Come on, let's do it. Let's hang out. Somebody's doing a panel... Friday night, where they rank the they're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. This is what I noted. They are trying to decide what is the quote unquote best Pokemon. That is a fool's errand.
It's Eevee, but also that's stupid.
Exactly, it's Eevee. No, it's Smoochum. Sorry, why did you convince me that it was Eevee? It's Smoochum. Yeah, I'm gonna go to that panel and just get yelled at probably. But I just, like, we made a deliberate decision at some point while doing this. Like, we're not going to pick a best one. That's foolish. That's difficult and impossible and not worth doing. We're not going to rank them in order.
It's also just a really stupid, like, I'm sorry. I'm sure your panel is going to be really fun. You're obviously more successful than us because you have a PAX panel. So I feel free to dunk on you. The thing about Pokemon... It's the title of the franchise is Pocket Monsters. It's plural. Reducing it down to one is stupid and pointless.
It's Pocket Monsters. It's not Pocket Monster. It's not John and Jane. It's Jack and Pikachu.
I don't even know what you're trying to say anymore, but yes.
It's not. You got it. Yes. I am going to try to attend that, and I'll report back. But for this week, we're not actually ranking. We're not starting our Gen 2 rankings yet. We are going to be ranking some Pokemon later. Mm-hmm. But we want to mix it up. We try to keep things fresh and never frozen here at the Johto Quorum. So this week, we watched some films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we thought, like, you know, we finished the first generation, and, like, I don't know about you, Alan, but as
22, yeah, I agree.
As a youth, as a youngling, I got killed by Anakin Skywalker. No. I finished the original 151 myself. I finished Red and Blue. And then I went to the theater and I saw Pokemon the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. I got my Ancient Mew Pokemon trading card. I had myself a hell of a time.
You were a young child of only 47.
And
Agent 47.
Yeah, so do you still have that card, by the way?
No.
I
might, actually.
It's on my shelf?
I'm pretty sure I have, like, a white plastic tub in the garage that has a bunch of cigarette burns on it. And I don't know why, because I didn't smoke at the time. And I'm pretty sure it has Pokemon cards in it, so maybe it's in there?
Hiding, just waiting to be released?
Maybe, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I mean, like, this movie, I ended up getting it on VHS as a child, and I watched it all the time. To the point that, like, while I enjoyed rewatching Pikachu's Vacation and this movie, it was also kind of pointless because it's just entirely in my head.
Right.
I just have every single part of this movie in my head, down to, like, there's a point where they do the, like, who's that Pokemon, and I was like, they're gonna get they're going to say it's Alakazam, and it's not Alakazam, it's Scyther. And like, yep, there it is. Like,
oh. Wait, was there, who's that Pokemon, like, in the transition between the segments?
No, in the first movie, when Team Rocket's down in the cloning facility, they repeatedly do a who's that Pokemon shtick. And when all the Pokemon are gathered up, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but there's a point where all the Pokemon are getting cloned at once, and they're just standing there naming Pokemon. They're like, Dewgong, Vileplume. But the first one they say is, there goes Alakazam. There is no Alakazam in, well, no, there is an Alakazam in this movie, but it's in the gym sequence when Mewtwo has the armor on. They're talking about a Scyther. They got it wrong.
Okay. Well, yes. The thing I realized, well, whatever. We're going to talk about the movie later, way later.
They also call Sand Slash Sand True.
Correct. but first, they aired a 20-minute short before Pikachu, the Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, called Pikachu's Vacation, which we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. The plot concerns our Pokemon gang, Brock, Ash, and Misty, and Misty's trusty Togepi, going to a Pokemon park and saying, damn, we're tired. I guess we'll just let our kids go here and just, we're going to like let all our Pokemon out and they're just going to hang out and have fun and we're going to go fuck off and eat burgers somewhere.
It's peak like the trainers as parents and the Pokemon as kids, because it's like, okay, we're leaving you at daycare, but like Pikachu, you got to look after your little brother Togepi. Like, that's a thing, is the Ash is like, Pikachu, you gotta make sure to look after Togepi. I know you're here to have fun, but, like, you're the older brother, you've got responsibilities here.
Right, they firmly establish that relationship, and they do it throughout the anime, but it's especially true here. Like, Togepi is the kid for everybody, is everyone's child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is such a weird thing, I don't even know how to begin to describe. I'm, like, trying to, like, piece it together chronologically. It is maybe one of the strangest 20-minute things I've seen, because like it's straightforward. Like Pikachu and the Ash's main Pokemon try to keep Togepi happy, and then some other stuff happens, and then they go home. That's like actually the plot of this short,
mm-hmm. pretty much.
But the moment to moment is just so bizarre.
It's so there are so many like there are so many choices that I appreciate and respect, but also some weird choices. I'm like, okay, here's one. There's a point where Pikachu's trying to like smooth things over with a group of Pokemon that they encounter. It's like Snubbull, Meryl,
Raichu, Cubone, and Meryl.
Yeah, they encounter them, and which by the way, at this point in the chronology, it's like, oh, Meryl and Snubbull, these are new Pokemon we've never seen before. Oh no,
yeah.
More Pokemon. But, like, Pikachu is trying to smooth things over because Togepi's been throwing a fuss, and so Togepi's down for a nap. And Pikachu walks up and is like, hey, like, let's not. And then, like, sort of a fight starts to break out, and Pikachu says, let's set a good example for the baby, which we know because the Pokedex translates, and that's the only instance in this entire short of the Pokedex translating. So on the one hand, I think it's so admirable that you have, like, literally no humans present. It's just like Pokemon, like, doing their cries at each other and clearly communicating and understandable to the viewer. But then there's this one time where they compromised, and it's such a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. They do so much good work with, like, nonverbal storytelling and, like, emotional resonance without any words spoken. But then it almost feels like you could just take the Pokedex thing out of this short and you could still have a really cohesive, like, work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it might have been something where they wrote it without that and then had to add it in afterwards because people were like, we have no, like, grounding for what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's already so weird. Yeah.
Also, it's a kid's movie. I think, honestly, if you did the exact same movie without the Pokedex, an adult would do just fine. So the other thing that's weird, other than like the very few instances of the Pokedex actually being useful, the transitions are they're a choice.
Oh my heaven. Oh, I peaked the mic really loud. Excuse me, editor. Yeah, that is a choice. There are transitions, maybe people remember these, where they do like, it's not transitions from scene to scene, it's transitions like every time the camera cuts. They're so frequent.
They're extremely frequent.
It, like, I think the short is like 60% these transitions. And they're just like psychedelic rainbow background with like a loop of some Pokemon walking across the screen. Executor, Oddish, Executor, Oddish.
Well, they're
Diglett-y.
Yeah, they're very like they're differently themed per Pokemon, but all of them have this very weird like. It's like, have you ever watched like a TV channel for babies?
Yeah, here and there.
It's like that, right? It's like, oh, here's water rushing by, and then Magikarp like floats up like point blank and goes, Crawl! And you're like, why did you do that?
I wonder if it's like they just, is it a corners cutting situation where they were like, we don't have like the story to fill out 20 minutes? Because especially once you watch the actual movie, you realize like these aired together because the movie is actually very short for a movie. You put them together, you get like an hour, barely an hour 30. And even Pikachu's Vacation is like a very short thing happens, a 10-second transition, another very short thing. Repeat ad infinitum until the short is done.
Though honestly, they should have just, I mean, like I would cut the, well, I don't know if I would cut the transitions. There's some things.
They're charming.
There's an infectiousness about how surreal they are. They're so,
yeah.
Such a weird choice. But like, the Pikachu's Vacation just as a short is really good.
Yes.
I feel like, a lot of it's just like an anime episode, but honestly, like, the use of music, the music licensing in this short is incredible.
Oh, Vitamin C, Let's Go.
Vitamin C Vacation is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, but you told me to remind you of the phrase Vitamin C, Let's Go.
Oh, yes, I did. Okay. So, they keep saying, like, not the chorus, but like the backing of Vitamin C's Vacation. You know, it's got that opening. It's like, come on, come on, come on, let's go, over and over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Pokemon Let's Go.
Right.
I'm just saying, connect the dots.
Come on, let's go. Oh my god. you want me to remind you of that? that song is like the reason that we're doing this episode.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, because that is like that is what I remembered. But then like watching Pikachu's Vacation again, like they also have like the Catch Me If You Can during like the Squirtle Marrow race, which is also fantastic.
Oh my god,
it's just extremely like peppy and fun and I don't know. There's something really great about it.
Yeah, the short does a really good job of just keeping your attention. Like, it wastes no time because there's always something happening. It's just like I took a ton of notes because I was trying to, like, get down what is happening and, like, make some sense of it. And a lot of this is just like, wow, these transitions are weird. And then, like, Snubbull and Squirtle square the fuck up because of gang war reasons. Bulbasaur's eye tricks are trifling because he just like spins his eyes around. Meryl and Squirtle are fighting. It's time for a race. Electrode explodes as the countdown for the race. And it's like, whoa, what is this? It feels like just a showcase of like, hey, look at Pokemon doing their Pokemon things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a promo for everyone's personality.
Right. Like Squirtle like tries to beat Meryl and is so excited he taps the end of the water and is like, damn, I'm so awesome. And then Meryl and her friends are like laughing at him and he's like, damn, I suck. I'm the fucking worst. Team Rocket's Pokemon are just sleeping the whole time. Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan are just like kicking each other's ass. And then you have Pikachu and Raichu who are mad at each other, so they bump cheeks and like sprint across the whole park. They ruin a sleeping Charizard's life, and he chases after them, and then they're brutally killed by Snorlax, who sleeps on them. Like, it's just like, and then this happens, and then they fall asleep, and then Charizard, this is like the, you know, it's sort of, it reminds me actually of, have you seen My Neighbor Totoro?
Yes.
Where it's like, you watch it, and you go, is this gonna have a plot? Is this gonna have a conflict? Oh, I guess it's not. I guess we're just gonna, oh, the movie's over. Okay.
I mean, the Charizard thing was kind of the conflict. I mean, the real conflict is between Snubbull's gang and Pikachu's gang and them learning to...
They learn to work together.
Right, because Charizard... It's kind of... It's really touching that they work together to help Charizard when he's kind of just being a huge asshole. Like, he kind of super does this to himself.
gets himself stuck in there, and then starts crying.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
That actually like made me really sad as a kid. I was like, why is the Charizard crying? What did they do? And then it's totally an ad for communism, because it's just like, if we all work together, we can pull the Charizard out of the fucking pipe.
Cute.
And that's my favorite Pokedex moment, is when the Pokedex decides to be a judgy asshole and is like,
Cubone's kind of a dick.
Cubone's kind of a dick. And then Cubone doesn't literally look at camera, but basically looks at camera like, all right, fuck you, I'm going to help. And like pulls and helps everybody else. Pikachu makes an impassioned plea to the masses. Again, nonverbal. Just like, hey, everybody, let's all work together. Shown to us by him just like gesturing with his hands on a soapbox. And then Meowth gets a cartoon bomb, and then he blows himself up, and then Psyduck sees like multiple deaths in this short. Psyduck sees a lot of shit, and then by the end of this, Psyduck like looks to camera and is just like, "Sayayay," and you're like, "Damn, that's PTSD. That's really messed up." And then yeah, Vulpix is having fun, and I thought of you in this moment, and everyone's just like having a good time.
Vulpix is great.
They rescue the Charizard, and then Ash Ash and company come back, and Ash is like, all right, half of the cast of the short are mine. Get back into your ball. You all belong to me.
Well,
he has many Pokemon at this point in the anime.
It's Misty and Brock as well.
Right, it's Misty.
Geodude, Brock's Onix, Vulpix, we gotta go.
We gotta go. You really do. You really do just have this committed.
I could basically do any line you want.
I have a lot of weird stuff from the film in my head, like specific lines, but not this. The short I haven't actually watched that much.
Oh, it's special.
But it's really charming, and I want to watch all the Pokemon shorts now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I may not watch all the Pokemon movies, Genesect. But the shorts, it's just like these are just a fun, good time showing off the personalities of the Pokemon, and Vulpix pulling on the rope just with its mouth because it's such a sweetie. It's doing everything it can. Oh, what a good. Well,
Vulpix versus Eevee, who wins?
Vulpix.
Shit. Okay, good to know. We'll stake our claim.
Yep.
You've already had to pick between your two children. You'll never have to pick between two children ever again in the quorum.
Well, see, the thing is, it's like, you can't like Sophie's choice me, but you can like Sarah's choice me, where it's like, I don't love either of these that much, but I do dislike them about equally.
I dislike this one slightly less. Croagunk is the winner.
Hey, Croagunk's got poison fingers.
And these gold fingers!
I will never quote G Gundam correctly to 6 ever.
It's it's baffling.
What's the line? What's the line?
Shining finger?
No. He says that, but then there's another part where we're talking about this
glowing with an awesome power.
There's a part where he says, "And these blank fingers," and he like screams. It's great. We're gonna all watch G Gundam soon. It's gonna be awesome.
I don't know if I will. I probably will.
You have to. Have you seen it? You've already seen it though.
I've seen some enough to know that I don't like it.
I mean, I'm curious. I'm so curious. But yeah, so that's our whole take on
Pikachu's vacation.
Pikachu. I don't even know how many of the shorts there are.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I like the Jirachi short that plays when you beat Pokemon Channel. That's a really good one. Eventually, I'm just gonna. I really am by the end of this gonna make us play Pokemon Channel all the way through.
Is it even a game?
Yes.
Are you sure?
There is a progression that ends with you watching the short. Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's sort of like Animal Crossing-y, except like with an ending. You just do stuff and you fill up meters and you get new toys to play with Pikachu with.
So it's a clicker.
Oh my god.
No, you got my interest. I'm into it now.
Yeah, it's basically a clicker. It's just like Cow Clicker.
The numbers just keep getting bigger, but in this case, the numbers are the EVs on your EV. The evolutionary values. You see, it's making a...
Speaking of Pokemon and ranking, we are now going to move on to our second segment, where Six and I rank our favorite Pikachus.
Yeah, so we are talking exclusively about like Pikachus where there's a clear delineation. Like, Ash's Pikachu is not on this list. Ash's Pikachu is great. It's also just a Pikachu.
It's just a whole Pikachu with funny faces.
Mm-hmm. Funny faces are very good. In fact, if Ash's Pikachu was on here, those funny faces would probably make it win. But we have 8 entries on here, and we'll talk about them one by one. We've got Surfing Pikachu. Oh, no particular order, just as I thought of them. Surfing Pikachu, Partner Pikachu, Cosplay Pikachu, Pikachu Libre, Cap Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, Ashachu, and Pikachu 2. That's 8 entries. So we're going to do a 1-8. We're going to talk about these one by one, figure out where they rank. You know, kind of like how we did the Kanto Towns.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. So, do you want to just start talking about them in order first? I guess that's
sure, let's talk about Surfing Pikachu.
So, Surfing Pikachu, was that originally from Pokemon Snap?
No, it was originally from Pokemon Yellow, I believe.
Oh, right. The intro to Pokemon Yellow had
And then Pikachu there was a
mini game
where you could get a Surfing Pikachu.
There's also a trading card in the TCG that looks fantastic. You got the big chubby Pikachu, which we are firmly pro chubby Pikachu on this podcast.
I like all Pikachus.
We love all Pikachus. They're all valid and real and our friends. But chubby Pikachu is just so relatable and good. Surfing Pikachu is just riding on a surfboard. And in Pokemon Snap, it's like the first Easter egg Pokemon you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Snap for the N64. A pretty good game that had a lot of potential, but is also, if you play it as an adult, very short.
It's pretty short.
it's like an hour and a half long if you do it if you're decent at it. I think Surfing Pikachu is really charming and kind of like bridges the gap of like, wait, what can Pokemon do that humans can do? Where's the line drawn? They can surf? Do they know what surfing is? How much sentience do they have?
I mean, it feels like, I don't know. This is completely headcanon, right?
Yeah.
But it feels like there was some like internal version where somebody somehow accidentally gave Pikachu like the ability to learn surf.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, huh.
Well, we don't need to get rid of that, do we?
Right. It seems...
We can just leave that Pikachu surfing.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very good. I like Surfing Pikachu.
Yeah, it's a good unique Pikachu. Ugh.
All right. Cool. Go off then.
So that's number one for us so far.
Yeah, I guess by default, Surfing Pikachu is at the top of our list.
Congratulations to the surfboard.
Now, let's talk about Partner Pikachu.
Partner Pikachu is the Pokemon, the Pikachu that follows you around when you play the new Switch game, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've just hit it. I just hit the point where I've said the word so many times, it's no longer a word. Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu.
Well, great, because you're going to get a lot more of Pikachu in this.
Does Partner Pikachu, I mean, you play the Eevee version, mm-hmm. obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Can we speak to whether or not the partner has a personality? I mean, your Eevee does.
They both have personalities. There's sort of a stand-in for Ash's Pikachu in the fact that they can, you know, like, they ride on your shoulder, they refuse a Pokeball, they're more active in the story. But they also have, like, exclusive moves that they can learn. Eevee has more than Pikachu, because Eevee has one for every evolution.
Mm-hmm.
That it can't have because these ones can't evolve. But
right.
Partner Pikachu can learn Zippy Zap, Floaty Fall, Splishy Splash, and Pika Papow.
Splishy Splash.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a water type move.
Oh, cool.
And Floaty Falls is flying type.
Oh, I'm into that.
So these moves give your Pikachu and your Eevee respectively just extra, like, a lot more viability. They're stronger, they've got higher EVs. No, they've got fixed IVs, perfect IVs, and higher base stats, and you can give them items to improve their stats. They're just insanely overpowered, to be honest.
It's a kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
More so than a lot of Pokemon is. Someday we'll talk about how Pokemon Black 2 is not a kid's game. This is, like, ties into the thing that always interests me about the Let's Go stuff is, what if we made Pokemon easier? Like, a lot of people always complain about, like, they don't make Pokemon challenging anymore. It's not hard like it was when I was a kid. And, you know, the classic answer being, like, you're not a kid anymore. They're not made for you anymore. Someday they'll make the hard Pokemon that we all dream of. That's, like, what the subreddit wants.
Well,
but
also, just very quickly, I'm sorry, but very quickly, I played Dark Cloud 2 for for the first time since, like, Dark Cloud 2 was the second game I ever owned. And I played it for the first time in years a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I fucking destroyed that first dungeon in no time flat. We're also better at games than we were as kids.
Yeah. You can play that same game and be like, oh, I get it. Like, I don't.
Right.
You played that wrong when you were a child.
Exactly.
So, but this one's just easy. Mm-hmm. Because they give partner Pikachu so many powers.
Right. Yeah, and, so and I think, also there's other like other things in the game that make it easy, but it's just like, I mean, is Pokemon really about difficulty?
No, it's about collecting and having fun with your friends and getting cute pink Pokemon.
I agree.
Named Smoochum, yeah, I agree too.
Also, did you know that the female partner Eevee has a heart tail like the female Pikachu?
Oh, what the fuck? I'm buying it right now. It's, click Amazon, bought it, add to cart. That's good. What's my credit card number?
Anyway, all that said, is it better or worse than surfing Pikachu?
It is worse than surfing Pikachu.
Yeah, okay. I won't argue with that.
Good.
Because, I mean, for as well as it is rendered, it is also just a Pikachu.
Yeah. It doesn't have a personality that separates it other than what it can do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more inquisitive, I would say, but, you know, meh. So let's talk about cosplay Pikachu.
Here she is. She's wearing cute outfits.
The thing is, most of them aren't very cute, though.
What the? There's the beauty one. There's the wrestler one. There's the... This is from the Ruby and Sapphire remakes, for people who are not are confused. They have a Pikachu... Well, you can just get a Pikachu from these. Instead of making it like the old Gen 3 games where you have to like get a Pokemon for each trait so that if you want to win that particular pageant in Gen 3, you have to have like, you know, build up that Pokemon's trait. They just give you a Pikachu whose outfits you can change and they have like a best outfit for each trait.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same Pikachu that just wears all these cute outfits.
So here's the thing. I had always assumed that... Okay, based on Pikachu Libre's abilities, who's also on our list, right?
Yeah.
I had assumed that Pikachu Libre was a separate character and that cosplay Pikachu was cosplaying as Pikachu Libre.
Oh, is that interesting.
Was that not your assumption as well? Were you assuming that Pikachu Libre and cosplay Pikachu were the same character?
Well, Pokemon establishes that in my head that Pikachu Libre is its own distinct character.
Right, that's what I thought too.
Yeah. And cosplay Pikachu is presumably dressing as Pikachu Libre when they're going to talk.
Okay, I wanted to double check that because I was looking at this. I'd forgotten that cosplay Pikachu could wear a...
Could be Pikachu Libre.
And I was like, wait, am I? But
cool form is Pikachu Rockstar with the fun eyebrows. Beautiful is Pikachu Belle, which looks like a sheep herder. Cute is my favorite, obviously. It's Pikachu Popstar. And then clever is Pikachu PhD, which looks like six IRL.
Here's a hot take. All of them except for Libra look bad.
Pikachu Popstar is so cute. What are you saying?
No.
You don't like Femme. That's the problem.
That's correct. That is, I don't like Femme. You've nailed it,
Pikachu
Alan.
Pikachu Rockstar has a chain wallet.
Okay, that's good. But it also has those terrible eyebrows.
I love the eyebrows. And the pointier tail. They made the tail pointier.
Did they?
On like the bends, the curves. It still has the heart tail. That's what Cosplay Pikachu has, but it has the...
it has an extra bend. No, I think you're wrong. I'm looking at other art.
Pikachu PhD. Why does Pikachu PhD have hair? What is it about? Oh, it has... it's got a graduation cap with a Pokeball in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's got all these pens coming out of its jacket. And a big sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's actually overdesigned.
It looks like it's a sweater vest, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pikachu PhD is definitely the worst design.
Of these ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pikachu Libre is so good, they made it. It's her own character.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pikachu Popstar enough to say that we keep Pikachu cosplay on this list.
Well, we weren't ever going to cut cosplay Pikachu.
Sorry, I'm in Quora mode. I don't know how to turn off the, like, I must fight for my child.
Well, you can fight for your child by determining where... cosplay Pikachu places, because I would place her at the bottom of our list, at number 3.
Oh my god. Why is she below Partner?
Because Partner has, like, unique moves, and it shows a curiosity and an excitement about the world. Partner Pikachu is the lens through which you see that game.
Mm-hmm.
Cosplay Pikachu is fine.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
One could argue that if you actually cared about the contest mechanic in Ruby Sapphire, that
ever?
one could
yeah.
feed those blocks. That the Cosplay Pikachu kind of like takes away any semblance of difficulty from that mode.
That's true. It does kind of break that mode.
Related, our next one is Pokken Tournament's own. Here she is. It's Pikachu Libre.
Pikachu Libre is sick.
She can kick your ass, and she should and would. I love Pikachu Libre. She's badass. She holds her own against the big boys. She doesn't give a crap. She does it all with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
She can electrocute you and then drop you with a fucking suplex like it's nobody's business. I adore her.
She, apparently her burst attack summons a wrestling ring.
Uh-huh.
And also, Alan.
Hi.
Do you know what her throw is?
I haven't played Pokken in like 7 years, but what is it?
It's a stone cold stunner. Because she's electric. So it's a stunner.
Oh.
It's so good.
Oh, no.
Pikachu Libre is incredible.
I guess only if you like wrestling, so we should probably cut Pikachu Libre.
No, Pikachu like Libre should win.
Oh, God. Okay, sure.
Okay, great. New number one, Pikachu Libre. All right.
Apologies to any listener who's like, why is Alan yawning so much? We are recording late, and it's been a week. Hi, hello. Let's move right on. We have Cap Pikachu from Mario Odyssey. No, wait. That's Cappy. Cap Pikachu is Pikachu with an Ash Ketchum hat.
Actually, you're entirely correct. It's Pikachu with any number of the Ash Ketchum hats from over the years.
Yep.
So... good point.
Ash gets a different hat every new region he goes to. Satoshi gets a new hat every time he goes to a new region. And Pikachu also gets the hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pikachu just wants to be like people.
And that's a sin for which it should be punished. So, bad Pikachu. Worst Pikachu.
We were just discussing today how the actress who passed away many years ago, who voiced Meowth in the anime, was a trans woman who said that the episode of Pokemon anime that helped her come out was the one where Meowth is trying to like bond with the human girl,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and the human girl is like, you're an animal stuck in another thing's body. And it's like, Meowth feels like a human stuck in a Pokemon's body. We can all relate. Cap Pikachu wants to be a person. They're putting on hats like a person. Why would any Pokemon ever wear outfits unless they were told to? Cap Pikachu is the only one with agency who makes that choice deliberately. I think Cap Pikachu should be on the top, number one.
It absolutely can't be on the top. Pikachu Libre wears a Lucha Libre outfit. As opposed to just stealing someone else's hat is not as good.
Satoshi gives him the hat. Come on.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Okay.
Fucking
fine.
Looking for a handout.
Six, where do you want Cap Pikachu?
Is this for Rat? Would say like number three. Number
sure,
four.
Sure, fine. Sure.
We'll do number three because you whatever seem you enthusiastic want. About Cap Pikachu. There's just not much going on there.
Is that? Oh my god. Is that how you spell Pikachu? Oh my god. I've been looking at it for so long, it doesn't look right anymore!
Yes, that's how you spell Pikachu.
Are you sure?
I'm really, really good and sure,
why
friend.
Is there a K in there? Oh, God.
Pika-pee, you know.
Oh, my mind. Oh,
it's okay, cool just three more. We're getting there, bud. We're getting
okay.
there.
I can't.
Detective Pikachu. One,
it's Danny DeVito.
It should be Danny DeVito if it was Danny DeVito. Do very well on this list, but it's not.
Is this the game's Detective Pikachu, or is this the new upcoming movie's Detective Pikachu?
Well, the movie isn't out yet, so I don't feel like we can render judgment.
But he's so furry.
Extremely furry. It's true.
Did you play Detective Pikachu at all?
No.
I'm like interested in it, but I don't want to buy it.
Yeah.
I hate buying video games.
Well, also, it's like, you play as the human, not as the Pikachu. Why would you do that?
Why would you ever do that? What? No.
What's get wrong with you?
Why'd you do that? Nobody wears a cute Sherlock Holmes hat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's true.
It solves crimes. Is it? I'm curious. If anybody out there has like played Detective Pikachu, tell me what it's like. Is it serious? Is it Phoenix Wright level of like there was a murder? Is there death in the Pokemon world? Does it take place in the same like Pokemon world that everything else does?
Is
it canon?
I don't have answers for you, Alan.
Is there a courtroom scene where Pikachu goes like, objection, Pika Pee, and then like zaps the whole courtroom by accident? And it's like really funny. Detective Pikachu is such a mystery to me. He's an enigma.
What do you think, Prosecutor Raichu?
Right.
Well, that's compelling. Sounds like you're at the bottom of the list, bud.
Oh, boy.
No, where do you want
Detective Pikachu? Where do you want him?
I don't have strong enough feelings because I haven't played that game. I've just heard, you know, like clearly late 20s Japanese voice actor be like, oh, so does Kaw. And be like, that's Pikachu. What's happening?
Can I get so does Kaw again, please?
Oh, so does Kaw.
Thank you. It's fucking. Oh man, Detective Pikachu stays on the list. Alan, this isn't a ranking list. You don't.
So above Cat Pikachu, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Under Surfing Above Cat.
All right, that works for me. Now, Alan.
Yeah, what's up?
Who's Ashachu? What's an Ashachu?
There is only one Ashachu.
It's
this
you.
This is a horrible abomination. And it's you. Check it out. Satochu from Hocus Pokemon. The 241st episode of the Pokemon anime. Where they just meet a witch in the woods? What is this episode? He just has like a witch hat. This is sick.
I'm the one Ash who added this turned to the list. So.
Ash is turned into he's fused with Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Is he fused or has he become a Pikachu himself separately?
I think he's fused with Pikachu.
That's wild. I mean, actually, that's not that wild because in Gen 6, he fuses with Greninja. Spoilers.
It's kind of like Fusion Ha, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You got to get the fingers just right.
Yeah. Or is it an earrings one? Do you think there are... No, there are no
earrings. There's a Potara.
There are no Potara on this Pikachu, clearly.
Potara. Come on. Yeah. Satochu doesn't wear... Why was I going to say it doesn't wear glasses? Pikachu nor Ash don't wear glasses. Why does it look like it should wear glasses and it's not wearing them?
It does kind of look like it should wear glasses, though.
Right? Oh, boy. It's got the little tufts. We actually cut from our original list Richie's Pikachu Sparky. Mm-hmm. Richie from like season one of the anime. Because Richie is basically palette swapped Ash and Sparky is palette swapped Pikachu, mm-hmm, with like funny hair. And so Ash 2 just like has the elements of that, but is a horrible nightmare fusion of human and Pokemon.
What do you mean horrible nightmare? I think Ash 2 is kind of cute.
No, Lily the Witch is kind of cute. I don't know about Ash 2. Where's its glasses?
Let's take a look at Lily the Witch.
Yeah, she's fun.
Okay. Her face is kind of wide.
Oh my god.
Kind of just goes.
Lily's Japanese and English names and the fact that she's a magician could be a reference to Lily Potter from Harry Potter.
Could also be a reference to the Great Plains of Lily, aka the great expanse of her fucking face.
Oh my god.
It's so big.
In that one picture, bud. People have
no, look at the other picture.
Yeah, you're right.
She's just got a big-ass face.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Sorry, Lily, you're not making the list.
Damn, her top Pikachus. Where did we go? Where did we come from?
Cotton Eye Joe. Ashachu.
You couldn't just leave that on the ground? You had to pick up that, like, dirty, crusty $1 bill with a Cotton Eye Joe joke on it? Joe joke? Joe joke's bizarre.
Okay, here's a story for you. Like three
Sorry,
days ago.
Still giggling at JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Like 3 days ago, after I got a root canal, I went to Little Caesars because I was like, I feel bad. I want something to make me feel better. I'm gonna get
pizza.
I'm gonna get some very very cheap pizza because I'm broke, right?
Sure.
And as I was walking out, someone else walked out in front of me, like, who left before me, and they dropped, like, 2 nickels on the ground, and I paused for a moment, and I was like, yeah, my hands are full. And I kept going.
Hey, good job.
I'm not too good to pick anything up unless my hands are full.
Of pizza.
But yeah, crusty $1 bill, we take those.
What's the smallest denomination you'll take?
I mean, if it's heads up, I'll take a penny.
Will you take a quarter?
Are you kidding? Absolutely, I'll take a quarter.
Well, what are you going to do with a quarter?
I'm going to put it in my jar of change.
You have a change jar?
I do.
Okay, fair enough. That's your investment.
Who needs index funds when you have a change jar? Fools.
Where are we putting Ashichu?
I mean, based on how fucking weird this discussion got, I would say above surfing and under Pikachu Libre.
Wow, that's just... All right, I'm down.
I like talking to you a lot. I just enjoy my conversations with my friends.
It didn't really seem that related to Ashichu, but I agree with you.
Related to what? What are we doing?
Well, we're going to talk about Pikachu 2.
The sequel to Pikachu. Sorry, I really wanted to let that pregnant pause have its child. Mm. Pikachu 2 is the clone of Pikachu in the film that we're about to discuss, Pokemon. The first movie, when Mewtwo clones all of the Pokemon in the stadium, it clones Pikachu. And, I mean, one of the most heartbreaking parts of that movie is when all the clones are fighting and Pikachu 2 is just like, just will not stop trying to hurt Ash's Pikachu.
What a bad determined Pikachu. To kill him. What a mean Pikachu.
Number one it is. You're right.
No, number 8. Cruel Pikachu. Heartless Pikachu.
No, but he enables Pikachu to learn the lesson that, like, we don't need to fight.
Okay, I'm going to kick you in the kneecaps real hard, and you're going to be like, I've learned a lesson that fighting's bad. And you're going to be like, thank you, 6, for kicking me so hard in the kneecaps.
I love it. I actually love it. That's me playing fighting games. And you. Pikachu 2, there's a scene where he's just like slapping Pikachu over and over again, and like it goes on for way too long.
Yeah, that's pretty uncomfortable.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like crying, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
It's a lot. Where's Pikachu 2 go?
I'm thinking. Below cap, above partner.
Yeah. Okay. I'm down with that. So, that means that our list is bottom to top. Cosplay Pikachu, Partner Pikachu, Pikachu 2, Cap Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, Surfing Pikachu, Ashichu, Pikachu Libre, the best Pikachu.
Ugh. What a crafted list. What a beautiful list.
Pikachu Libre.
I can't I'm going to close my eyes. I can't look at the word Pikachu anymore.
Well, all right. Let's talk about Pikachu, the first movie. Pikachu Strikes Back.
Pokemon, the first Pikachu. I think it's weird that it's called the first movie Mewtwo Strikes Back, considering this is the first movie. What is he striking back from?
But this
I mean,
is...
I know the answer. You don't have to tell me.
This is classic, though, right? This is classic. Early Pokemon,
yeah.
Where it's like they're hinting at a larger world. It's the Hoenn at the beginning of episode 1.
Okay, go ahead. Continue to galaxy brain this.
It's Mew hidden in the files.
Yep.
There are events that happened before Mewtwo Strikes Back leading to Mewtwo Strikes Back. That's a movie that gets made later.
Is it?
Yes. There is a movie about Mewtwo before all of this.
What? What is it called? Why did I look to my shelf as if I had it? What is it called? Are you smoking crack? What are you doing? What are you saying here?
Let me double check.
Sorry for the bad drug reference. That was inappropriate. Is it the direct-to-DVD sequel to this?
It's Origin of... No. I know this is a thing.
Pokemon Origins is a good fucking short, by the way. Whatever movie.
I wish you watch that. Oh, boy. Give me... I'm going to have to edit this down.
I think it has a Mewtwo in it. This is my like fundamental question of this movie, though, so this is good. I thought it was just Mewtwo Strikes Back from when it defeated the scientists at the beginning of the movie.
No, I'm trying to... I mean, there's Mewtwo Returns, but that's not... Oh no.
That's the short sequel.
I think Mewtwo Returns has the flashback to what happened before. Is that right?
I don't remember anything about it.
I'm gonna have to Bulbapedia this shit.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to edit this down, which is annoying for me. I don't like having to edit this stuff down, but obviously I do. Let's look at Mewtwo in the anime. Original series. Okay, I'm trying to figure out where this is from. The uncut story of Mewtwo's origin.
Okay. Mewtwo wasn't circumcised?
Which is a 10-minute anime short about how Mewtwo was actually part of a project. So the Those were in this as well, because he didn't actually make those. He made the other ones.
Bulbasaur.
But there was...
Ew, Bulbasaur. Sorry.
You're gross.
You said it. I'm repeating it.
But actually, this project to create Mewtwo had another objective. It was actually, like, creating the ultimate Pokemon was Giovanni's goal. It wasn't Dr. Fuji's goal. Mm-hmm. Dr. Fuji wanted to be able to research cloning so that he could recreate his deceased daughter, Amber.
Oh, my God.
And thus we have Amber 2.
What the fuck?
Amber 2, you know.
What it...
What's up?
I don't know if I need Pokemon back lore like this.
So, while they were both growing inside test tubes, Mewtwo communicated psychically with Amber, and they, you know, had this whole, like, great, you know, like, learning about the meaning of life thing. It's very much like Gundam 00, you know, like, psychic, like, you know, like, Alleluia, Hoptism shit. Oh, that's season 2. Yeah. You haven't seen that yet.
Wow.
And, Then Amber 2 died, and Mewtwo, like, was traumatized and forgot it all, but remembered that there was something before, and was also remembering that they were angry for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, Mewtwo woke up and was real pissed.
This actually sounds interesting. I was going to, like, cut you off and then talk about something else, but that sounds kind of interesting. And that answers my question?
What was your question? Why is Mewtwo angry?
Which was, why is it called Strikes Back?
Oh, right. Yes. I forgot the question. We've been talking for so long. I know.
Pokemon the First Movie is a film that was released in Japan on July 18th, 1998. It was directed by Kunihiko Yuyama, and it was written by Takeshi Shudo, based on the Pokemon series by Satoshi Tajiri. It is the first Pokemon movie. It's right there on the tin. It concerns Ash, Misty, and Brock being invited to a mysterious island by a mysterious trainer claiming to be the greatest trainer ever. They go to the island and find out that the trainer is Mewtwo, a clone of the legendary Pokemon Mew, which the project was funded by Giovanni so that he could have a really powerful Pokemon. Mewtwo broke out of prison and attempted to take over the world by creating clones of all the best Pokemon in the world. The power of friendship and anti-war messaging is what saves the day in the end. Mewtwo goes to fuck off and, like, go live in the mountains, and everybody's happy. Also, Ash dies and then doesn't die. That's the movie. What did you think in general of Pokemon the First Movie, coming back to it?
It's, like, it's a simple, straightforward story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's so heavy-handed.
Yeah, it's extremely heavy-handed. But, like, I don't know, there's something, like, really charming about, like, there was a part that made me... I've always been kind of on the fence about Ash as a character, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the part where he gets really mad at Mewtwo, like, he comes back, he brings all the clones back, or not the clones, the originals back, he saves them, and he's like, you can't do this, I won't let you. And then he says, you're mine, turns his cap around, and just runs and tries to deck Mewtwo, and I'm like, kid, you're okay. You're an idiot, but you're okay.
Why are you like this, Ash? God, use your head at all. And then he says, oh, headbutt it? Okay. Dies. Why does the fusion of Mew and Mewtwo's beam turn Ash to stone? Why doesn't it just kill him dead?
Because
this is a kid's movie. No, don't say because it's a kid's movie.
Because when there's sort of two different psychic energies that are not really attuned to each other, and the chaotic swirling has unpredictable effects.
Okay, I'll take it. life, the great miracle and the great mystery is a really badass way to start a film. This movie starts out amazing. The opening, like, 10 minutes where Mewtwo is seeing the doctors all poke and prod at him, and they look like the doctors from Gundam Wing. Mm. Didn't you get that vibe where they all have,
totally,
like, the weird mustaches?
Especially, like, the lighting and stuff is very, yeah.
Yes, and then he's like, that's so weird. He has his entire arc in the first 5 minutes of this movie. Nothing is better paced than this film, because Mewtwo, like, describes everything that's going to happen to him. He's like, am I the same as a human? Does me being a clone mean that I have my own identity? What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? And it's like, yep, did it. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. We dreamed of creating the world's strongest Pokemon, and we succeeded. I noted also that this is just a good thing they did. Mewtwo's great for the anime because he doesn't have a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no lip syncing required.
Yeah, and they just do a little bit more echo. It's actually kind of weird because it's the opposite of what you're used to, where it's like usually it's like it's more echoey when people are thinking internally. But with Mewtwo, mm-hmm, it's like it's less echoey when he's thinking to himself, and it's more echoey when he's being psychically communicative.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Speaking of interesting, he breaks out, and then Giovanni talks to him and says, like, it's cool, Mewtwo. Don't kill people. Kill people I tell you to, but I'm going to put this armor on you. It's totally fine. They open on a Colosseum, which is, I guess, the Colosseum we see later. He, like, levitates an Onix and instantly kills it. He slays, like, 100 Tauros, and then Team Rocket capture all the Tauros. He bends an Alakazam in half, electrocutes a Magneton, and double teams a Nidoking Arcanine combo.
So,
that belonged to Gary?
Did you not know this? So before the movie came out, there's an episode where Gary challenges the Viridian City Gym. And he kicks Giovanni's ass for his first, like, two Pokemon. And then Giovanni's like, all right, do you mind if I try out something new? And a door opens and you can just see, like, a sort of a vague silhouette and a pair of glowing blue eyes. And Gary just gets fucking rocked.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
It's so cool.
I was just like, wait, you can't? Like, Gary's, like, the main rival of the show. He's just, like, in a 1 second shot in this movie. What?
You see it from the other perspective. You watch that episode.
I gotta find that episode after this. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got his cheerleaders there and everything. And he just gets destroyed.
Yes. It's like Gary. Where's Gary in the current anime? Is he dead? Did he, like, have kids and go live in, like, Poughkeepsie?
He got shot. He took a bullet for Ash.
Shit. Yeah, that'll happen.
Alolan Klefki, you know, the Ring of Guns.
You just delivered the phrase Alolan Klefki like it was nothing. A ring of guns. Classic line, I stand alone. This is where I was like, does Mewtwo just sound like Nathan Fillion? He kind of has that, like, Canadian-ishness to him. This voice actor, by the way, in English at least, didn't do a lot other than this. He's not in voice acting anymore.
Which is, I mean, like, I hope he's doing other things. Well, it's kind of a bummer because, like, I hope he's doing well. I hope he's doing projects he's happy with. But also, it's so awesome that he's just Mewtwo and then nothing else.
Right. Yeah. You would have just, you're like, I did it. I got the good role.
Mm-hmm.
Philip, no, what's his name? Not Philip Bartlett. Jay Gerda is the guy's name.
Mm.
Dude seems pretty cool. His voice actor page is just comments of people being like, I really, really, like, loved you in this movie. If you're still in acting, I want you to know, like, thank you for your hard work. That's awesome that you did that. And it's part of my childhood. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Good for him. We get the really bad CG intro. This is where I, like, watched some of the movie and then paused it because I knew that the rest of the plot starts here. We get the like, it's Mewtwo Strikes Back. And then Ash fights a random guy that looks like he's out of Team Magma, which doesn't make canon sense. Because he has the skull bandana.
It's true.
And he's just like, it's actually very much like the games where the dude is like, you're Ash, I want to fight you. And Ash is like, okay, I'm not hungry anymore, let's go. Like as if someone just exclamation pointed you and now that you're fighting them. Of course, both of us remembered that this is an excuse for them to do the fun intro song. And speaking of showing you Gen 2 Pokemon, we see a Donphan for the first time.
Yeah. Donphan's a cool Pokemon.
It's really cool. The roll looks great, and then it has, like, little pokies so that it can, like, turn and on a dime and jab you with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Bulbasaur kills the Donphan. Dude has a whole Machamp who loses to Squirtle.
Mm-hmm.
He loses to Bubble, which is...
is it Bubble or bad. Bubble Beam?
Oh, it's probably Bubble Beam.
I don't...
Damage-wise, that makes
know,
more sense.
But, I mean, part of what I feel like this is showing off, and I didn't appreciate it, like, this is one of the things that I did take away from a new viewing, is that, like, Ash doesn't... Like, Ash finds the road to power as being one through, like, there are no shortcuts, right? Like, it's made through experience and trust and skill. And so he specifically, like, Pokemon that he's had for a long-ass time are consistently not evolved. And that's partially because it's like, hey, we want you to form an attachment to these characters. We don't want them to just change. But, like, he's the person who just presses B every time the evolution prompt comes up.
Because he's like, I have the good Pokemon. Why would I want it to change?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, because then even speaking of, like, not using shortcuts, the guy finally throws out Pinsir, Venomoth, and Golem all at once, and then Pikachu still just wins, because it's Pikachu, it's the god Pokemon.
Right, like, I mean, it's established canon, like, multiple scientists in the anime have been like, Ash's Pikachu is fucking busted. Just like this insanely overpowered version of a not normally that scary Pokemon.
Right, it's a cute mascot, but also it can murder everyone. Mm-hmm. This whole battle is being filmed by a Fearow with a camera around its neck. And then another scene that, like, stuck in both of our brains, the cutest Dragonite in the entire universe.
Bow?
Delivers an invitation across the ocean to Ash and Company. And it has a hologram lady on it with a really great aesthetic. I didn't pick up immediately that this is just Nurse Joy because every woman in the, like, adult woman in Pokemon looks the same.
Yeah.
And they know it.
It was kind of, there was that moment where they're like, you look really familiar. And I'm like she's a character in Pokemon?
Yeah, everyone looks like that. And then Brock being like, you're Nurse Joy. That's really fucked up, by the way. That Mewtwo is the only Pokemon so far to, like, mind control somebody into spending months, weeks, or whatever of their life.
Yeah, like, and being like, thank you for help, like, I appreciate your help, and all the weeks that you no longer remember. And it's like, whoa, buddy. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. The huge yikes. What? Somebody's written fan fiction about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mewtwo's, like, non-binary, not asexual goals. Mewtwo has, like, no semblance of anything sexual on his body, their body. Nothing.
I mean, it's the tail.
It's just Tom that turns into tail that turns into psychic ball sack fingers. We eventually arrive at the dock because they're like, a challenge? I love it. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of trainers there. I love the prophet lady in this scene, like the blue hair prophet lady with the Greek accent.
I actually dislike her.
Why is that?
Because she doesn't make any sense.
She's just weird. She has no role.
And she's just like, I'm here to make this foreboding and ominous. I have literally no reason to be here.
And then Nurse Jenny has to be next to her to be like, all right, shitheads, let me translate what the fuck this weird Greek lady just said. Don't go out on the boat.
I have handcuffs, you fuckers.
I have a gun. You're 10. Stop running in the docks. There's wet floors. The ferry gets canceled. Of course, all of these, like, you can't tell a bunch of cocky 10-year-olds who think they're the best Pokemon trainers of all time not to do something.
One of the things that you messaged me about was how come the trainers that make it to the island are all kids, right?
Yeah.
Like, logically speaking. But I actually think it makes total sense if you consider, like, okay, so basically, these trainers got, a letter from a stranger that said, hey, come to my island you've never heard of tonight. And most adults are like, yo, I gotta put the kids to bed? And then the few that did show up were like, oh, the boat's canceled. Yo, fuck this.
Okay, I guess I'm not going. Yeah, they weeded out by, like, who's immature and stupid enough to go. And then I love that the prophet is like, they made the right decision. They didn't listen to me. That's exactly what I actually wanted. And we get, this is the...
Some trainers have no fear.
Yeah. We get Team Rocket dressed as Vikings as they attempt to take Ash to the island because everyone else, like, takes their flying or water Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And by everybody else, I mean two other trainers. Is the water three? Three.
Three.
There's three trainers. There's, like, the cool, the big dude, there's the not big dude, and then there's the lady. Mm-hmm. Tag yourself. I'm the not big dude. Team Rocket are dressed as Vikings. And this is the weirdest dub decision ever. Brock is like, I didn't know Vikings still existed. And then Ash just casually, like it's not weird at all, just goes, oh, they mostly live in Minnesota.
It's such a great localization joke. Like, clearly there was a joke there in the original that didn't translate at all. And because back then Pokemon probably still has all the money in the world. But like, this is Pokemon, the first movie. They've got to nail it. And so they're just like, they've just got a smart on the ball crew of localizers who are like, fuck it, make a joke about the Minnesota Vikings. Just like, bam, not missed a beat.
Right. That'll track perfectly with our audience. That's like a joke for the parents, actually.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's an art, is sneaking in like jokes for the parents in kids' movies that aren't obtrusive.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot of good dub comedy in this. Like at the beginning when they get attacked by Pikachu or whatever, because they're also watching Pikachu when they get the invite. Mm-hmm. James goes, there's another charge on Pikachu's charge account. Like, because he electrocuted them. Pun work.
We want to know what's so special about the Twerp Trio's special delivery. There's that great, it's a really well shot like angle where like the flight music kicks back in and Dragonite like looms up and leaps into the air and is immediately stopped by Jesse's frying pan.
Yeah, just
But anyway,
that was very funny.
We're heading to the island with the Vikings.
This is the part where I'm like, are they really going to like tease this Nurse Joy thing the whole movie? And then Brock's like, is that Nurse Joy? And they're like, yeah. He's like, okay, good. This movie has no time for any mystery or like build up. It's just like, no, get to the thing you want, you fools. Team Rocket arrive on the island with everybody else. They pop up on Weezing. Mewtwo, we find out, made the storm as a test to see who was worthy.
Yeah, and we get that. I mean, it's honestly, I know I'm going to keep like gushing, but like, it really is a really sick shot where after Mewtwo's like, okay, send out the last invite. And then he just like, it just starts waving. And then it cuts to the storm clouds gathering and like slow zoom on his hands. And he just waves more and more intensely, like generating the storm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he has cast form inside of his fingers.
There you go.
I forgot to mention Mew's stalking Team Rocket this whole time and is like teasing them and like running behind them, which is good. Mm-hmm. The island is called New Island, which I can't believe you guys named it that.
Among my great powers is not a great deal of creativity. I named my Charizard 2. What do you want from me?
I just put like henna tattoos on all my clones. They're cool now.
I love the clones. Patriots.
And the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, wait, we already made that joke.
I can make it again. I'm Mewtwo.
I was made again, in a way. All the elite trainers gather in the Coliseum, and one of them sends a Rhyhorn after Mewtwo, and it makes like a stock dinosaur noise. Like literally, it's a noise I've heard before. Mm-hmm. There's actually a decent amount of stock sounds in this that disappointed me, because I'm like, I like it when the Pokemon have unique cries. Mm-hmm. And there isn't an infinite number of Pokemon in this movie. There's like, you know, the Rhyhorn is important. It's that guy's Rhyhorn. Mm. But they gave it this like dumb dino roar that I didn't like. We see all the clones and how they have the scary red markings. I did legitimately think that was scary as a kid.
I think it's a bummer that the second generation of clones don't, though. They just look identical.
They're exactly the same, yeah.
It's a missed opportunity. Because, like, honestly, how come we don't have, I mean, like, they should have done way more with Pokemon the first movie as far as like licensing stuff, but like how come we don't have an opportunity to get like Charizard 2 in Pokemon Go?
Mm-hmm.
Like how come there's like so much opportunity here? How come we never ever again saw Mewtwo with the sick armor? Like, come on,
give me that armor again.
Yeah,
put it in the games. Speaking of the games, Mewtwo is like, I too played Pokemon Gen 1. I started with the three elemental idiots, but mine are way cooler and started at third form.
I also had my friend take my copies as I started save files over and over and then trade them back to me.
My mom never bought me a link cable. I raised them on my own. Yeah, and then they're just in a Pokemon stadium and everyone's, this is so dumb. Things they don't focus on, plot buildup, lore, character development, things they do focus on, Ash being disappointed that he's the only one who didn't nickname his starters.
But he's a bad person for it. This is what I'm saying. Nickname your Pokemon. And by nickname, I mean name your Pokemon, because you don't call your dog, because you're not a shithead.
You don't call your dog.
Seriously.
It's the best argument for nicknaming a Pokemon I've ever heard.
It's not like, this isn't rocket science. Don't, you know, it's like, imagine the version of this where it's the real world. It's like, I choose you, bird. All right, go, hamster. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They're creatures.
Nickname them anything.
Living creatures. Give them a name.
Say her name. all the Pokemon getting captured by the black eyeball Pokeballs is another really, like, scary moment. This is just the good part of the movie. This is, like, what you come here for.
Yeah, it's very good.
He runs into Ash, like, is a dipshit and runs into the back room and sees Team Rocket. And he's like, I don't have time for your introduction. And then 8 million hentai hands come and grab him and try to kill him or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying to process Pikachu, and he's interfering.
He's getting in the way. He's, like, jumping on the clone machine. I kind of wanted a clone to come out of Ash, and it's just Richie, or it's like Gary or something, and he's like, this is awkward.
It's just Ash, but he has like the black, like, streaks of, like, football paint under his eyes for his his little clone lines.
Yeah, he's bad Ash. Like, badass, and also bad Ash.
It's me, you know, I'm bad Ash. I don't know how to catch Pokemon. No, that's not me.
That can't be me.
And it just turns around the game, I guess. But cool.
Exactly.
Great.
This is where we get the March of the Clones part from Star Wars, where all the clones come out, and Meowth's clone walks on all fours. I was fucked up by that. I was like, no, you can't animate that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that Meowth walks on two legs, and we mentioned it earlier, walks on two legs and speaks like a human because of his life experiences. Naturally, you can't clone life experiences, and so the clones just act as a normal version of their species would.
Mm-hmm. The scene with Meowth and Clone Meowth later is amazing, but we'll get there. Ash emerges from the smoke. There's a Psyduck who still is the Psyduck from the short who has PTSD from seeing so much death. He tries to punch Mewtwo in the tummy. Like, don't be stupid. Mew saves him with an anime bubble. Mew's here, and she's making a mess of things. And then Mewtwo clocks Mew in the mouth with a shadow ball, and they're like, all right, we're going to go fuck off and have a way cooler anime boss fight that you're not going to see any of. And I'm like, no, show me that. Don't show me the clones fighting it over
also,
each other.
Also, introduction of shadow ball is a move.
You're right. This is like it moves the way that the Smash Brothers shadow ball does. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes bounces up and down
and gets added then in Gen 2 as a ghost move. So
as an ability.
Which also, I know this is like a dumb thing to fixate on, but it's so sick that Mewtwo throws ghost blasts.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Blast of pure ghostiness. Not cool is all of the clones fighting, and they're doing the, like, brother, oh, brother.
Brother, my brother, tell me what we fighting for. We have got to end this war. And brother, my brother, oh, brother, isn't life worth so much more? Tell me why, brother, my brother. I watched this movie a lot of times.
It's a really good movie. It's one of those that you just like, you're like, yeah, I'll just throw this on. It's very good for that.
And that song is bad.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's no vitamin C.
Damn right.
This is where the movie kind of loses me with its thread. Like, I can buy into the sappiness of Meowth telling Clone Meowth that great speech about, like, we have actually plenty of things in common. We have the same sky, the same grass. We're the same people. We're all, maybe if we focused on what makes us similar, not different, we would stop fighting.
Damn, meow.
Like, oh. Meow, meow. God, Clone Meowth's very cute. And then I think it's Ash, or no, it's like Misty who goes like, Pokemon aren't meant to fight, .. Not like this. And I'm like, guys, you can't. This is exactly the problem that Pokemon, they cursed the rest of the franchise with this line.
It's like, Pokemon are meant to fight as long as they're having fun, I guess? or they're fighting bad people? Or, or they're randomly popping out of a bush and trying to kill some kid?
Right, that's fine. We're mercenaries that are like mercenary assassins. It's okay. Every Pokemon generation from this one onward has a message about, like, Pokemon need to be treated well, but also they're our friends. But also, we shouldn't treat them like slaves. But we can keep them in balls, but like it net like just the infinite. Anytime you try to critique the like themes of Pokemon, they loop back around and are like, but you still need to fight people to get badges.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote themselves into a corner with that. You know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? Not have Pokemon fight anymore? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Aw, Sixer sent me a picture of Meowth and Meowth 2, and I love the frame of Meowth 2 looking up to the side like, meow. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They ended up making a series of games about this, Black and White. And
exactly.
They did not satisfactorily answer it, and they never will.
Uh-uh. Every gen, they have somebody who's like, is this okay? Whatever. Let's get back to fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we get the Pikachu's clone slapping her in the face. Really, I keep switching pronouns. Pikachu gets slapped in the face a bunch by its clone. And then Ash dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ash.
I was
Ash
so ready for this. I was so ready for it that it didn't hit me this time at all. Because I know it when it's coming. Like, I literally wrote here, Ash death in 5 minutes. And then it happened in 5 minutes to the dot. And I was like, cool.
But Pikachu trying to electrocute him back to life.
Still great.
It's still really, really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Also, Misty's voice work there. Pretty compelling.
Oh, yeah.
She sounds pretty legitimately upset.
She, believes that this boy is dead. That's true. Because imagine, what is their situation if Ash just dies? They're like, well, we got to tell the mom, and Pikachu doesn't have an owner anymore, and we're not going anywhere. I guess we have to go home.
Also, imagine how different that moment would have been if that line was delivered by Brock. Please, no! it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, the Brock voice actor doesn't have a lot of non-comedic range. Oof.
Listen, he wasn't burdened with an overabundance of talent, and for that he should be grateful, I guess.
God. And then at this point, if you are still critiquing the logic of this film, then you should check out, because Pikachu cries and all the Pokemon's tears bring Ash back to life, because shut up.
But they foreshadowed it, because they said, you know, in their sorrow, the water of their tears brought everyone back to life.
Oh my
god. But there are no there are no tears today. Just waves that no one can survive.
You do a really good accent of that lady.
I don't, but I've seen this movie too much, so it's fine.
Nidoqueen yells, cries out with the stock sound of a horse, like a...
Yeah, that was
so
weird.
Fucking... That's the other stock sound where I was like, why? Nidoqueen has a voice. Ash is okay. The Pokemon are pals. The clones ascend to heaven?
I think, isn't it Mewtwo's we're going to go find our own place where nobody else is and we'll figure our shit out?
Oh, yeah, because that's what happens in the sequel, is that they go to the mountains.
Uh-huh.
And it's just Mewtwo and all of the clones hanging out. I guess you're right. And then he says, you guys, this was a great memory for me, but you guys don't get to remember any. You shouldn't remember any of this. And then, opens a void in the floor, and then they all... It's confusing, because is he rewinding time?
I think he's erasing them. He erases their memory and teleports them back to land.
But when they go back to land, they're still, all the train... I guess he just, makes the trainers think it was, a couple hours earlier. Because they are then all man, I want to go on the island. Oh, the storm cleared up.
Well, like I said, their memory was erased.
But then they don't know why they're going to the island. Because their memory was erased.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
It's weird, because it's not just them going back, I guess we'll go home. It's them going, all right, it's time to go to the island. Oh, wait, why? I don't know why. To do something? It's nothing. It's not worth critiquing. It's just Mewtwo reset them back to before they got on the island.
I see now that the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant. It is what you do with the gift of life that defines who you are.
So you're saying is that Mewtwo and Char Aznable would not get along, because Char loves to blame things on the
However, I would super Earth. Drop an asteroid on the Earth. That sounds sick.
I do it with my hands. Yeah, I don't know. Which part of this seems more interesting to you? Going to see the sequel or going to see the prequel?
I mean, the prequel's 10 minutes.
The sequel's 45 minutes. It's not it's a special of the anime. It's not even a...
You know what? I'll take more Mewtwo content wherever I can get it. Mewtwo is so cool. Honestly, yeah. Between this movie and his presence in the games,
mm-hmm.
Mewtwo's just permanently cemented to me as It's hard to put into words exactly. It's sort of like the most, like... It's not, like, not my favorite, right?
Yeah.
And it's not, like, scariest exactly, but it's kind of, like, the most, like, imposing, I guess? It's the Pokemon whose presence fills a room more than any other.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, there's no other Pokemon that would change a room so much by stepping into it, in my mind.
As Mewtwo?
Like, you see Mewtwo, and things are suddenly different. Like, you see fucking Giratina, and you're like, oh, look, it's a centipede made of metal. Okay, great. You see Mewtwo, and you're like, shit just got real.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, though, because all of the other legendaries are either, like, mysterious in the anime way, which is, like, how will we understand the delicacy of nature, like Celebi, or they're, like, Giratina, where it's, like, it's so large and awe-inspiring that we can't fathom fighting it. And it's, like, neither of those are characterful, whereas, like, Mewtwo is a character with, like, goals and desires and all that stuff.
And also, I mean, like, Mewtwo, like, I, you know, maybe this has happened before and I just can't think of it or didn't see the anime or whatever, but, like, Mewtwo's a Pokemon that acted as a trainer. Mewtwo's a Pokemon that said, you have this idea in your head of Pokemon as being, like serving a trainer. Why should that be the case? I am every bit a human's equal.
Mm-hmm.
And he like, more than just, like, because, I mean, even after this, you have, as you've mentioned, you have in the games, like, characters being like, is this okay? But it's a human asking that question. It's very different than a Pokemon asking that question.
Right. It is having moral, like, again, it happens so fast in just this movie, but it opens your mind up to thinking about it, which is where the movie succeeds, that you're like, oh, Pokemon can have, like, goals and motivations and have and ask the questions that, you know, some humans aren't even asking.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most mature concepts in the franchise, and it works a lot better than their like, constant attempts to have people be like, no, but our story's mature. This villain is actually has a good motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I Molly. Think Mewtwo...
Molly!
Between the two of us, I think we could do a convincing impression, but I think neither of us
quite
have.
Yeah, we just have to layer them over together, and then we'll combine to form a perfect
okay,
Molly!
Okay, 3, 2, 1,
Molly!
All right, I'll fix that with the magic of editing. It'll sound super terrible.
Molly. Here in Pokemon. That's what we have for Pokemon the first movie. It's a great film. At some point, we'll probably watch whatever short comes before 2000 and then watch 2000.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, this is, I don't know, to me, this is the Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
Like,
when I was like, we should watch the Pokemon movies, we don't have to watch all of them.
But we have to watch this one.
This is the one we have to watch,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone, we mentioned to our friend Kat, who's currently going through and watching all the Pokemon movies, like, what did you think of this one? And Kat was like, I haven't rewatched it, but I've seen it so many times that I, like, it's the one that left the biggest mark. And, yeah, I think that's honestly accurate to most people.
Mm-hmm.
Is you think about the Pokemon movies that you've seen, the Pokemon that you've seen, and you're like, I remember going to the theater and crying when Ash died. Mm-hmm. Literally, yeah, even your friend Harry was like, I remember Ash dying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ingrained in so many people's minds because it's a good-ass moment.
It's like when Goofy died.
It's exactly like when Goofy died, took a rock to the face and just instantly peaced out.
And then Sora started crying.
And then he healed with the power of love. They changed the voice actor from Mewtwo in the hour-long sequel thing.
What?
It's Dan Green. Who's the he's Knuckles from Sonic X.
Ugh.
He's also in Mobile. He also worked on Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn.
Why not just make it Danny DeVito if you're going to do it, Dan?
Yeah, if you're going to fuck it up. Yeah, why not fuck it up right?
Hey, humans and Pokemon can never be friends. That's not a Danny DeVito voice. I don't know what voice this is.
No, but Danny DeVito's a hard one. Hey, I stand alone.
All right, that's definitely better than mine.
I can hear Danny DeVito in my head. I just can't do the impression. It's tough. But yeah, that's what we got. Just a fun sort of like smattering of Pokemon ephemera this week on the Johto Quorum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, it's the plugs, it's the Pokemon Center. That's the segment where we take our Pokeballs, we put them on the machine, and heal it with some links to other shows and things we do.
Bum, bum, ba-da-dum.
Well, now you have to do that every week. I hope you know.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Welcome to the Pokemon Center, where I plug my stuff. My name is Alan Ibrahim. I am not on social media, because F that. Who has the mental health for that?
Me.
You can find me on several other podcasts, though. I am currently co-hosting Chats, a television podcast with my friend Magellan. Over there, we are watching Babylon 5 and just constantly falling in love with the third season of that wacky sci-fi show. You can also listen to the just recently concluded the Garnet Wager. I didn't call it the Johto Quorum. That's not what I said. Garnet Wager is a podcast that Six and I hosted for about a year, and then also got our friend Nick in for the final season, where we watched Korean game shows. It's currently on hiatus, but it's an awesome backlog that I encourage you to check out, and we had a lot of fun with our wacky finale.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you, Sax?
So I'm Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar. I have a bunch of podcasts I do. They're pinned tweet, which I need to update because it's not accurate anymore, but you know, still covers most of the stuff I do. I will specifically shout out the Patreon, patreon.com/scanlinemedia. That's where me and my friend Jennifer, have our work that we do, and you can support us and we'd appreciate it. That's it.
Awesome. That is going to do it for this episode of the Johto Quorum. This is a game for kids, so let's be adults.
Please.
Please. Molly! You did a tweet that's the base boost in Molly, you fucker. You piece of shit.
You never checked Twitter. Ass. I never thought you'd catch me.
Tomorrow.